Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 472. We're going to call this the Crowded House Edition here at the Caffeination Podcast for more than one reason. My name is Paul, and I'm going to be your host, and we have a little guest here today.
How's everybody doing tonight?
This is my brother-in-law, Steve. He's stopping in for the Crowded House Edition here. We're also calling it that because I have a ton of news on this site that's usually not there. We're going to talk about exactly how it all came to be and what this means for the future of the Caffeination. But we have a great show lined up for you today. Hopefully, you're going to enjoy what we got coming for you here. We're going to have both be talking about some of the news and different things that we have lined up. Any favorites that you can think of right now, Steve?
At this point in time, food.
Food. Food is always good. Unfortunately, Steve doesn't drink coffee, so you can't run him off quite yet. He is a very fond and avid soda drinker, though. Am I correct?
Yes. All soda right. And iced tea.
There you go. So he is caffeinated much more than me right now. I only had a little bit of espresso, and I think he's rocking his third or fourth glass of iced tea.
At least.
We're just going to start the IV before the end of the show. All right, we have a ton of stuff to talk about today, so I'm going to just give you the nitty and the gritty right up front and personal. You are listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are lovingly nestled along with all of our other little episodic friends over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com for those of you who can't spell or keep up with me. All right, if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, please send it to caffeination@gmail.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and edumacational content, and everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. All right, today's episode, we have a ton of stuff. Some of it serious, some of it kind of jovial and playing around. We have the two sections as per usual. We have the Geek Cruft and the food and caffeinated bits. However, unlike most of them, we don't actually have coffee. Now, it's not just in deference to the fact that Steve doesn't actually drink coffee. It's more the fact that I didn't really find a whole lot of awesome stuff to talk about with coffee this episode, so we're going to move on from there. All right, we have... I think we're going to start on why you're going to see so much news here at the Caffeination. For those of you who don't know, for a while now, I've been working on Tumblr. What do you think of Tumblr so far, Steve? I showed it to you just today.
You know what? Looking through it, I actually was pretty fond of it. I've seen a lot of different pictures here and there that seem to interest me very much.
All right. I think that everybody who's seen Tumblr is really kind of enamored of the design overall. Like, there's not, like, a whole bunch of extra junk getting in the way when you're reading the articles, right?
No, you know, the other thing I also see is that there's not many advertisements posted everywhere. As you would see, you know, if you look through pictures, if you're just searching, you'll see advertisements right in the front of it. Yeah. But with that Tumblr, you don't see that.
Yeah, that's good and bad, at least the way that I think about it. It's good because it's, like, fantastic. I don't have to sit there and slog through ads, but it's bad because I don't know how exactly they're paying to keep the service running at this point.
Nah, I don't.
Because they don't actually have I think they just started selling themes so that you could have your own little Tumblr blog with a special theme on it.
Right.
But they're not... I mean, it's like $9, and it's a one-time fee, so it's not something that you can do a whole lot with. All right, but I've been using Tumblr as kind of like the back channel. Whenever I found something really cool, I'd shove it in there, and people would be able to go over there and they'd see. The problem was, and a lot of people actually made mention of this to me, is that people were visiting caffeination.tumblr.com, which is a fantastic place to be if you like to join Tumblr and you want to join in the conversation, but they weren't actually coming to the website. So even when I would post, like, you know, hey, there's a new Caffeination, and I would post something up over there, it wouldn't come back to the actual website. I think I maybe got one or two a month that would come back, and that's through a little bit of analytical digging. So I decided what I wanted to do is find a way to get Tumblr to post on WordPress. Now, this was not as easy as it seemed. The original way that I had it was that all of the stuff from the Caffeination originally piped into Tumblr, then Tumblr talked to Twitter. Now I have Tumblr talking to a plugin called Feed WordPress, which is great, except for the fact that Tumblr doesn't use the RSS in the correct way. They kind of leave it as an open-ended thing. So if you post five or six stories during the day, the only thing that Feed WordPress sees is the stuff from yesterday. So it was kind of a pain because it wasn't updating throughout the day. Like, I can update Tumblr from my phone. I don't know if I told you that.
No, you didn't tell me that.
But. Yeah, you can actually like scroll through the different stuff on your phone, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, all the different smartphones that are out there.
I don't have a smartphone, so
I'm sorry.
For me.
SMRT smart?
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you can update Tumblr from your phone. You can actually, if you can send email from your phone, you can email pictures from it, and it'll go directly to Tumblr, too.
I'll have to try it out.
Yeah, and you can also call in, because they have an audio thing, too. So you can actually leave audio tumbles.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. But none of that would transfer. And so what I had to do was actually go through FeedBurner to sanitize the feed to get it over here. Not saying that we posted dirty stuff over at Tumblr, which, you know, sometimes it happens. But, you know, it's all stuff that ended up over here. So there's a lot of fun stuff on the site right now, wouldn't you say?
I would agree.
So I think we're going to be continuing to do this. I'm going to keep updating interesting stuff along the way. And hopefully the people won't leave. Now, if you go over to the Caffeination homepage right now, you're going to see something rather new. On the right-hand side, there's a fun button. It has a little star on it that says, listen to the podcast, because there's so much article jargon going around over there. That just takes you directly to the listings of the actual show itself. So hopefully that'll ease the confusion. Were you able to figure out what that meant, Steve?
Very easy for me. Yeah.
That's what we like. All right. Moving right along to the next little thing that we got going for you here. I also gave you a link rather to the WordPress plugin that I used called Feed WordPress. It's over at feedwordpress.radgeek.com, so you can check that out. 10 years ago today, the internet was forever changed by a meme/mem. I don't like the word meme. Does it sound like a fun word to you?
No, very complicated.
Do you like mem better? Or?
Mem sounds more cozy.
Yeah, cozy. It's a cozy word. But anyway, the viral phenomenon of All Your Base Are Belong to Us came out. Steve was not as familiar with it as I was. He's a little bit younger than me. But it's kind of an addictive little thing, and it works its way into so many other different facets of internet life. If you head on over to knowyourmeme.com or knowyourmem.com, depending on how you feel like flowing with it, they actually have a great video on it, and you can watch that on your own time. But basically, they have it on the list of endangered memes right now, because the overall Google rating for the actual All Your Base is way, way down from where it was at the height of its popularity. But this is basically the progenitor for all of the other crazy things that we've had coming out since that, you know, Velociraptor, the Star Wars kid. Is there any other crazy things that you've seen people sending around? Just it's like rolling.
I can't think of any.
Come on, you were doing one earlier.
I can't.
We had Rick rolling. We've had
Bird is the word.
Come on, what time is it?
Oh, it's peanut butter and jelly time.
There you go. That's another example of an earlier one that's actually moved beyond that. Now, one of the original ones, which is entirely Flash-based, was, or animated GIFs, rather, was the hamster dance.
Yes, I remember the hamster dance.
I actually have the hamster dance CD because I thought it was really funny, and I like to play it for people in work because it irritated them, but still. So it's been 10 years to the day that that's happened. All right, since nobody really seems to wear watches anymore, everybody checks their cell phone for time, what do we got here?
Oh, we got 16 ways to use your wrist now that watches are obsolete.
So what's your favorite? This is a little thing from over at Flickr.com. A gentleman by the name of Lunch Breath, gotta love the name, decided to do a little sketch note on all the different uses that he thinks that we could use for our wrists now that the space is free, this space for rent, so to speak. So there's a couple of different ones. Name you some of your favorites from the list.
Some of my favorites right now are the convenience stack of quarters. You have the personal size cross stitches, and I especially like the small game trophy mount.
Now, for those of you who haven't followed through with the link, basically these are all watch-like in appearance, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would.
But some of them take a little bit of a license, artistic license. For instance, you can have two small starter turntables, no microphone attachment. There's a backup urinal cake, a portable pot pie, and all of them have basically the strap and then, you know, whatever thing you would like to have, the accoutrement in the center. So the convenient stack of quarters is nice. I think for the salt lick, you might also want to have that one that's a tequila dispenser and maybe a little lemon wedge.
That would definitely work.
Like a one-shot tequila wristband, I think that would be pretty cool.
That'd be a good idea.
All right, moving right along to the next one we got. This one is talking a little bit about Anonymous. Now, Anonymous is a crazy organization that kind of hides in the shadows. They are Legion. They are Anonymous. They're a group of, at the same time, both incredibly juvenile and incredibly skilled hackers. They have been known to do stupid things like attack Tumblr because Tumblr... because Tumblr was stealing memes from 4chan. And they've been known to do crazy things like defend WikiLeaks by taking down MasterCard. So the length and the breadth of their abilities is pretty insane. To kind of give you... I'm just linking up to this this story here. I'm not going to go into the whole long sordid affair. But basically, a gentleman by the name of Aaron Barr decided to try and flub his way in and penetrate the inner circle of Anonymous, because he thought that Anonymous had very few people actually in their ranks. And unfortunately for him, they pretty much ruined his life. They kind of went out there, they hacked into the security company's files after that. They basically called him out on all of his little bluffs and are making life a real living nightmare for the dude right now. So it's pretty crazy. I don't really want to go into the whole thing because you really have to read the article, and I don't want to just gloss over things
right
that are important, because it's a really complex story. I think it took me like a half hour to explain it to you.
Yeah, it did. I mean, in the end, I think it reminds me of the movie's Hackers, if you would think about it. I mean, just the way they're playing with codes and the internet. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. They might have gotten the idea from that.
Well, I don't necessarily know that they got the idea from that. It's an underground organization. It's organized in the same way, but it's really kind of crazy to see the powers they have. I mean, it's one thing where you're like, okay, a bunch of kids are playing around online. It's another thing that they're taking down MasterCard.
Yeah, that's a big step.
I'm glad I use a Visa right now.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Let's just hope they don't go after UPS, because there's a whole lot of lulls they can get from What Can Brown Do For You. But beyond the fact that they just ruined Aaron Barr's life and they went and basically kind of flayed him in public, the company that he works for is actually pulled out of an upcoming security conference. The company is HB Gary, and apparently they were doing research on an incredibly virulent internet worm called the Stuxnet. Worm. Now, I was unaware of this at the start of my research for doing this show. It's pretty crazy. Apparently, this is the worm that took down some of the Iranian nuclear reactor capabilities. That's not really something you want to play with.
No, I don't think so.
So rather than finding the live fire code, the ready-to-go source code for the worm, they found information within HB Gary's files that is a decoded version of the worm, which is kind of like a pseudocode version. It's written in part English, part other things, and the security analysts are basically saying that it's only going to be a matter of weeks before this really comes kind of flying back out onto the internet, and that's not going to be a good day for anybody who's irritated Anonymous. So, gentlemen, as you were, I'm over here, and all I do is talk about coffee and tech news. Sometimes I have friends along. That's about it. We like your masks.
Yeah, they're very nice.
For those of you who don't know, the traditional picture for Anonymous is either a suit with an empty face, or it's also the Guy Fawkes mask, also known as from the movie... what was the movie?
I forget. I can't remember.
Sorry, it's V for Vendetta, I think. Yeah.
That's yeah.
remember the 5th of November, I think. But there you go. All right, now next we have a little bit of hard-hitting news that we'd like to talk about. Do you want to take over what this one is?
You can keep going on.
All right. This is the fine citizens of Detroit have decided to erect a statue of their most famous cop. That would be RoboCop. And when this initially came out, I think it was originally an internet joke, and the mayor of Detroit basically said that no public funds were going to be used, this is ridiculous, and he said that this is not going to happen. Well, an organization within Detroit actually donated the land for where the statue's going to be, and he still wasn't going to budge. So then the powers that be actually created an internet fund to basically go, and it's from a place called Kickstarter.com. It's a way where you can start your own ideas, and apparently all the fans out there in the world decided that Detroit was the perfect place to have part man, part machine, and all crowdfunded. So would you go to see the RoboCop statue?
Oh, in a heartbeat. I'm waiting for it to erect up right now.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, on one hand, I mean, we're from a city where there's a relatively famous fictional figure that has a statue here. Rocky has been known to flaunt around the city, and he's been in different locations. The iconic top of the art museum. He was also front of the Spectrum, and I think he's at the bottom of the art museum stairs
right
now. Yes,
he's at the bottom of the stairs.
Opposing fans have been known to dress Rocky up, so I don't really know if you'd have criminals attempting to deface RoboCop, but I was also I forgot completely that in the RoboCop movie, the first one anyway, the villain was the dad from That 70s Show. So it's really weird, because back then you're like, oh my god, that dude is like hardcore, he means business, yeah, he looks a little geeky, but he just looks like somebody's older relative who's in Vietnam and isn't going to take anything. Now you're looking at him and it's like, you're Red, you're the guy from That 70s Show. It doesn't really have the same kind of nastiness to it.
No, you can't see him now and, you know, think he's going to be hardcore.
All right, moving right along. The next fun little story, taking all the fun out of board games. Why don't you take this one?
Yeah, this is where Hasbro has decided to reinvent Monopoly with a plastic tower directly in the center that does all the banking for you. It shows the whole board and does the dicing and all that. And to be quite honest with you, I am not pleased with it at all. I prefer old school, where you can hide the money underneath, and when you have somebody arguing with you saying that you still have money, just put your hands up. They don't have it. So, yeah, as I could see, I'm looking at a picture of it now, and it's just not the same.
I mean, about the only thing you could do is pick the tower up and throw it.
Yeah, and then say, you know, heck with that, I'm going to go old school now.
And you know what? I think one of the best parts of Monopoly, besides the obligatory family argument that always happens towards the end, if it's a family game night, is actually taking the fashion that you can actually make your own rules up and on the sly. And you can take the money if you're really irritated and, like, throw it at somebody. There's just something very visceral about being able to chuck a stash of fake bills at somebody.
I mean, I could honestly say that, you know, between me and my brother playing the game, if me and him get into a little action, somebody's getting hit with that tower.
I would actually pay to see that. You know, $50 might actually be worth it now.
Yeah.
But there you go. Find real retailers near you. The new version of Monopoly, complete with large projectile. Previously, we only had the small ones. The weird thing is, I'm looking at the board, and they seem to have also kind of eliminated some of the iconic figures. They appear to just be metal discs with tiny things on top. We can't really see too well in the pictures that we have, but it just... I'm sorry. I totally call the car.
Yeah.
The car doesn't seem to be there. There's no shoe. There's no Scotty dog. So I don't know. I'm giving that one a fail. What do you say?
No way.
All right. Moving to the next little thing. Watson, the supercomputer built by IBM specifically to take on natural language queries and fight Ken Jennings and Brian Reuter on Jeopardy, has won the first game handily. Over 15,000, I think, was it 15? It was like 35 to... No, sorry, that was 25,000.
Yes.
over the other contestants. The final scores at the end of the first game, despite the fact that, which is crazy, but after the first round, they were tied. Brian Reuter and Watson were tied at 5,000. So sometime in between that, and Ken Jennings had 2,000. So sometimes in between that and the end of the first game, the supercomputer had earned 35,734. The second place, Reuter had actually earned 10,400, and Ken Jennings had earned 4,800. That's a spanking.
Definite spanking.
The only funny... There was a couple funny moments in the actual games that actually showed up where the natural language queries didn't quite work. And, for instance, Watson couldn't hear the other competitors speak, so it didn't know when they had given an answer he had already given. So That was one flub. And the other flub was that somehow on the final Jeopardy question, the category was U.S. cities. And they said the largest airport was named after a World War II hero and the second largest a World War II battle. Both human players guessed that this was actually Chicago. However, Watson, for some reason, thought it was, should be Toronto, despite the fact that it's not a U.S. city. Now, the programmers actually explained that because the categories themselves are very rarely strong hints towards what they actually are, what the actual answers would be, that there's not a lot of value basically put on them in the calculations. So as it was thinking, it was like, okay, Chicago happened to be second, but it didn't realize that U.S. was kind of a end-all and be-all determinant. So are you going to watch the second half?
I might, but I'm thinking with the with what was just explained, with how they were explaining what went wrong, I think it's just a way of saying that, oops, we made a mistake.
the weird things that they said was, first of all, it had to push the button, which I actually thought was pretty cool. The other thing is that it got the question in form of a text file. So as Alex Trebek started reading it, the computer got the text file. Here's the thing. Alex isn't necessarily the most speedy reader, and I actually think that they should have built some kind of OCR technology into it where it actually had to optical character recognition, where it had to actually use a camera and figure out what the letters were.
Right.
Because, I mean, despite the fact that it would be able to read quicker than we can, you know, there should have been some kind of delay put in because it gets the question as soon as he starts speaking. It's kind of an advantage in the middle of Jeopardy to be able to buzz in if you can figure out the rest of the question, because you could either read it quicker or you understand where it's headed.
Right.
This thing gets the entirety of the question right off the bat. And that seems to be, as looking at the final scores, I'd be willing to bet that that's probably one of the advantages. But they were saying this is actually going to help other things besides just messing around with a supercomputer to play Jeopardy. But they're actually trying to figure out how computers can understand normal human speech. Because if you've ever tried to do a phone, any kind of voice activation on anything, I mean, even the coffee pot we have here, if you can talk to it, that's great, but you have to be very specific about what you say. This is natural language queries, complete with, like, you know, figuring out things like limericks.
Yeah, I've had a couple of problems with even phone recognition in my phone. Even if when I had a smartphone, I would push the button and tell it to call somebody, and I would ask a totally different person, and some names weren't even in the phone. I was wondering where it was coming from. So hopefully this will be a big step ahead.
I mean, I think the closer we get to an actual natural language understanding, the closer we're going to get to Skynet. So, you know, I, for one, welcome our robot masters. All right, moving right along. This is a kind of story that hits a little bit close to home. Both Steve and I know somebody who is very severely affected by burns in his life. There's something called the skin gun. Now, this is from disinfo.com, and this is, if you know anybody who's ever had burns, like especially like really horrible second and third degree burns, burn units are incredibly horrible places to be. They're life-changing events that scar people forever. I mean, that you really can't beyond that.
No.
And, like, it will scar you mentally and physically, not just because of the fact that you actually have scarring, but because of the pain you have to endure to heal. So the way that the current skin grafting technology works is that they grow the skin in a lab and then they apply it over you. The only problem is it takes weeks to actually do. This new thing is called a skin gun. It basically, it takes 2 hours total to actually do this. They harvest skin cells from your body. They actually take the stem cells from you. So these are not embryonic stem cells. There's no extra junk attached to them. There's no other political leanings, left, right, or center, on the use of adult stem cells. So this is taking your own stem cells out of your skin, mixing them in a solution, and basically spraying them back onto the wound in kind of like an airbrush, I guess. Didn't it look a little bit?
It looked exactly like an airbrush.
But it was a little bit more fine, and I think they actually had it purple in color just so we could see what it was doing.
Right.
But they have an example. One of the people who first tried it out was a former soldier, and he's a cop, and he was standing next to a bonfire, and some idiot threw a can of gasoline into it, or a cup of gasoline on the fire because they thought it was funny. Fireball happened, burned the guy's arm, torched it all up, severe second-degree burns. And for those of you who don't know, a second-degree burn isn't charring of the skin, that's third, but it is, like, you know, really serious bubbles and blisters, and just severe disfigurement usually happens. And basically, they used the man's own skin cells, stem cells rather, from another side of his body. They then painted the area that was affected, and within 4 hours, how would you say he looked?
It looked a lot better. I mean, after watching, you would see that there's a magnificent difference between what it was and what it is now. You can't even tell that it was burnt.
Yeah, it just looks like he has a little bit of like a stippling to his skin. And this is, the pictures that we saw, the first ones was actually like 4 hours after it actually happened. And then he said basically he was healed by Monday. This accident happened on a Friday. He was healed by Monday. You can't get turnaround time like that. I mean, in anything in medicine. So, I mean, I can't wait for this to actually, you know, move beyond and into actual testing out in other cities, because this is just crazy. So
it's something they need to do.
All right. Moving right along, a little bit of design concept from over at Yanko Design. Why don't you explain what we got on the screen here?
This is what they are turning to with tractors. It is a solar-powered, like I said, tractor that seems to do all the work for you on, looks like a farm or wherever they can use it at. Solar powered, it works at night, during the day. It rotates 360 degrees, and honestly, it looks pretty neat.
It looks kind of like a robot that from like some kind of a crazy Pixar animation.
Yeah.
And it's standing in a tripod with like a pod in the center. Now, we can't figure out what exactly the parts on it do. It's called the Deuterium. And it's solar-powered, it has little drones that can actually send out to do work, but there doesn't seem to be, like, anything. It's not, like, mowing grass, it's not tending to a hay or anything. We don't even see a trailer hitch on it.
No.
But, it's one of those things that we have over at Yanko Design, so obviously it's in the beginning stages of design, and it says it's designed to work in the year 2020. So, 9 years, you think we have some funky-looking robot tractors flying around?
I would think so.
I think that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I'm still waiting for my flying cars, though, I gotta say. All right, moving right along to the next little thing we got for you here. The Last Arcade in New York's Chinatown. It's actually a place called called Chinatown Fair, and it is the Video Game Land. There's a great article over at scoutingnewyork.com where it's basically an old school video game. This is not an old school video game arcade. You know, the long, narrow hallways, the one where you have to throw the quarter up there and say, I got next. Everything from Pac-Man and Galaga to, I can't even read some of these. I think that one's Tekken.
Yeah, you got Tekken. You can't read some of them.
Yeah, like some of them are like hard to find, like different versions. There's Miss Pac-Man and Galaga. There's a whole bunch of different ones, and it just appears to be a really cool thing. They actually have a funny little story about a chicken that used to dance on an electrified grate and play tic-tac-toe, but some kind-hearted soul actually saved the chicken, and the chicken now lives on a farm. Now, the website Scouting New York is kind of neat because basically it's this gentleman walks around New York trying to find locations to film in. Now, he wasn't finding a location to film for this one. He was basically just kind of letting people know about a hidden gem. Now, when I went to San Francisco, they had this massive video game museum where you could play anything you wanted, and it was like one entrance fee. It was awesome. And I remember, I don't know if you ever remember when Wildwood had the old fair.
Yeah, I do remember.
It was like for $5 you could go in there and you could play any video game in the entire thing. It was massive. It was in like a warehouse. I never really found out what happened to it. It kind of closed suddenly. But I have really fond memories of earlier in life playing video games in an actual arcade. Both Steve and I are avid gamers, but do you think there's something lost?
Well, I think so. People read this and you know what, they're all going to say the same thing. Oh well, we see that all the time when we go to the mall. You'll see places like Time Out and all different kind of arcades. This is nothing compared to this. These are all old school games, all joysticks and.
There's no Dance Dance
Revolution. No, there's definitely no Dance Dance Revolution or House of Dead 4. Nothing like that. It's all quarters and fun.
Yeah, and they said the most expensive game in there is 2 quarters. I can't remember the last time I played a game for 2 quarters. And, like, those were the really good games that were 2 quarters. That was, like, Killer Instinct when it first came out. You're like, yeah, Spinal wins. Yeah, it's all that kind of stuff. But yeah, this is it's kind of fun. But I need to find out if there's any place like this around Philadelphia. That'd be neat to know.
Would you visit if we found one?
Oh, definitely, in a heartbeat.
You know what they need to do is they actually need to market it to people who are in their, like, 20s and early 30s and stuff. And they need to put a bar in the back of it and just have all the old video games there, because they would make an absolute mint.
Oh, yes, they would. That would.
So, all right. Now, the next little thing we got for you here, the last little item we got for you in the Geek Cruft section. You want to take this one away for me? Describe what you got here.
That is just a nice storm of funness right there. It's, it looks like a, the castle, Grayskull, sculpted out of snow and ice. And this happened in Brooklyn, and it took a lot of work, but let me tell you something, it is impressive.
Yeah, it's apparently a product of the artist Kilroy III. I'm not entirely sure who Kilroy II was. The first Kilroy, in case you were unaware, was somebody who, I don't think they ever actually found out who it was, but would graffiti all over France in the middle of, like, World War I or World War II, and there'd be this very strange-looking little dude who would have, like, his nose hanging over the wall, and it'd be like, Kilroy was here. That's all you saw. So, it's a far, far cry from that to Castle Grayskull, but still, like, some of the really cool pictures over at nerdapproved.com actually showcase, like, a really, really nifty situation going on there, so... Apparently it lights up from the inside. So a little He-Man action. I have the power. All right, moving right along to the food and caffeinated bits, then we will head you out on your way. The first little item we got up for you there, for all of you angry avian friends out there, bird is the word here, Steve. What
that
do you say?
That is in fact.
Mau indeed. we have angry eatable pieces of awesome from the wonderful place of Artisan Cake Company. There's an Etsy shop where the chief artisan, the Elizabeth Marrick, is actually selling Angry Bird cake toppers. Now, they're $105 for a large set of different custom pieces. Now, I'm not sure if I would actually pay $105 for all these, because, I mean, I like Angry Birds. I love Angry Birds, certain aspects of them, but...
You know what, for $105, I don't think it's worth it. I mean, again, you know, you got a ton of fans out there that actually would pay that much for it, but you know what, as I'm looking at it, I think it's a little too much.
So what would you pay for the set that they got there? They got, how many of those? Like, 5 pigs... A set of eggs, and they have one of each kind of bird, along with the slingshot with the bluebird locked and loaded.
I think the going price should be maybe $50-$60. I mean, I think that would be comfortable. I mean,
the only thing that I'm trying to look at is I wish I kind of had a scale for how big these pieces were. I mean, because if they're massive, I could almost understand spending that much for like a custom piece of edible art. But the only thing is, on the actual Etsy shop for $130, they had a slightly larger set that also included a bunker and an extra pig, and it had a couple other extra hats. I think I would actually pay for that just because the bunker looks kind of tasty.
It does. It actually does. I think something like that. I would pay about $100 for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it depends on what you would be interested in, but, fantastic work. I mean, they all look really on point for the characters. So, all right, next little thing. What's this one, Steve?
Oh, this would be zombie jerky, which actually looks not too bad. It's exactly what it is, zombie jerky. It's teriyaki beef jerky, which is looks like zombie meat.
So it's not human flesh fed to zombies. This is zombie flesh fed to humans.
Right.
Isn't that how we get infected?
I would think so.
I think this is actually the zombies' way that we can actually get infected, so I don't know if this is necessarily a good thing.
And if so, they're very clever.
Very, very clever, and apparently they're also teriyaki flavored. So that's you can take that for what you want. But it's available over thinkgeek.com, my favorite geeky store out there. Haven't been able to find the price for it. It's $4.99. Oh, that's not too bad.
No, that's actually...
You can gross out everybody you meet. Well, yes, indeed. The lovely little green fluorescent color to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if you eat enough, you might glow in the dark.
That'd be pretty cool. All right, now the next one up here. Steve's not a beer man himself. No. He's much more of the wide world of liquor. While I do like liquor, I do enjoy a good glass of beer. However, I think we're both kind of intrigued by this next story. This is beer marshmallows are now being proven to exist. And again, another custom confection that you can order yourself. This is from Chicago. So, I don't know if Watson could find the beer marshmallows, but you can get a set of these sent. They're $2.50 a pop. The marshmallows are hand-created using beer as one of the bases. And then they're actually coated in chocolate truffle. And then coated on top of that with like a pretzel and a beer brittle. I don't know how you make beer brittle.
Nah, that's confusing to me.
So, but either way, they're apparently paired with a nice dark stout, and I kind of think they're awesome. But I'm not really a big marshmallow fan entirely, so I don't really. It's appetizing because it's beer in a candy confection, but it's not appetizing because it is a mallow. How do you feel about marshmallows?
I could do marshmallows. My only question would be that if they had beer marshmallows, I think that would make a pretty nice s'more.
I'm actually not a s'more fan at all.
No?
I'll eat marshmallows if they're roasted on the fire or stuff like that, but I have a almost religious campaign against s'mores. They're the tool of the Girl Scouts, and I'm sorry, but as an avid and lifelong Boy Scout, I can't move over to the power of the dark side. I know that there are Boy Scout troops that will partake in a s'more every now and then, but I'm sorry. The little girls got the cookies. They got all the best things in the world. We're left with popcorn. s'mores be damned. All right, and then the last little story that we got for you here is the One Pan Chocolate Chip Skillet Cookie. Have cast iron, will travel. This is a recipe from over at blogs.babbel.com. It is how to make an entire 8-inch skillet cookie. This looks kind of like something you get at a restaurant.
Yeah.
A scoop of ice cream on top. I, for one, would salute my chocolate chip master.
You know what? I'm getting hungry just looking at this.
Unfortunately, I think the only thing we have upstairs is some Famous Amos, so I don't think they're going to cut this.
Nah.
This is a ooey-gooey goodness up for you there. So this is the entire recipe on how you, too, can create your very own chocolate cookie. So if you're interested, you can head on over there and check that one out. That about wraps it up here today. We have some more coffee reviews coming. Steve might come back for another episode sometime in the future. So you can leave your comments, feedback, suggestion for either of us. And, we're going to head on out. Is there anything you'd like to say on the way out?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Thanks very much for that one. I keep since we don't have the camera up or anything like that, which we might eventually do if Steve doesn't try and kill me first. But I keep throwing these stories to him, and he's like, "Oh well, I didn't know I was supposed to talk here. No problem. I guess I'll just wade right in and try and babble through whatever you've just showed me." I spent a little bit of time kind of introducing him to the stories, so he really did a fantastic job, kind of jumping in at the last second with all the different stuff that we were going to talk about. So thanks very much for coming with us here on the show.
No problem at all. If you guys want me back, just leave a comment.
All right. Thank you ever so much for listening. Just remember, if you are looking for this podcast, it's found over at www.caffination.com. And you can send comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail to caffeination@gmail.com. All the rest of the stuff's over at the website. So thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.